everyone, and welcome back to A Cup of English. The title of your podcast today is Ethanol, Anyone? Thanks for joining me today. My name is Anna, and I bring you podcasts during the week. I've been a little busy recently, involved in a school district committee, and I've also found myself doing some gardening now that it's spring. But I'll make it up to you, and I'll start doing regular podcasts during the week for you. Please feel free to join me on my Facebook page that's called Anna from A Cup of English, and I will friend you if you'd like. You'll find not only my podcasts there, but lots of opportunity to read other people's posts and also occasionally to chat. If you wish to read my blog while you're listening to the podcast, which we call Double Learning, you can do so at acupofenglish.libsyn.com, where you'll find the text and grammar notes. There's also an app for your convenience in iTunes called A Cup of English. So let's get started. Today's podcast is going to test your knowledge of ethanol. What is it? How is it made? And what are the advantages and disadvantages of using it? I asked myself these questions recently when I drove past a gas station that had a sign saying, "No ethanol in our gas." I asked myself why it would be good to not have ethanol in petrol. I remember hearing about large amounts of the stuff being produced in this country and how some people are for it and others are against it. So, what exactly is ethanol and what are the issues surrounding it? Ethanol is a fuel that for a long time has been produced from corn. In the US, the government subsidized corn growers for many years, specifically for the production of ethanol. But why would they do this? First of all, a desire to be self-sufficient was at the heart of the project. If you can produce your own energy, then there is no longer any need to rely on other countries. Secondly, some believe that the cost would be less than petrol. Thirdly, ethanol reduces greenhouse gases by about 18 to 29%. Ethanol is easily mixed with petrol, so all cars can use gas that is 10% ethanol. There are some cars that can use 85% ethanol with 15% gas. Continuing research has raised questions about ethanol. If we are using millions of acres of agricultural land to produce corn that nobody eats, surely this will raise food prices globally. Also, farming corn is costly and uses a lot of gas and gas products when you think of the heavy machinery, the transportation, and the petrol-based chemicals used on the plants. How much cleaner is this biofuel than traditional gas? And should the government be spending taxpayers' money on subsidies for a process that isn't overwhelmingly beneficial? Well, as I continued to research ethanol, I found that globally, research has improved its production and removed the two major problems: using food for fuel and only reducing greenhouse gas emissions by a small percentage. Apparently, a new ethanol called cellulosic ethanol is now produced from non-food crops, such as bark, corn stalks and leaves, and switchgrass. These are agricultural and industrial leftovers, and switchgrass is a rapidly growing weed that is used to prevent erosion. So, instead of expensively growing corn, we can use byproducts. Just think of the savings. The carbon footprint is tiny compared to that of growing, transporting, and processing corn. And talking about our carbon footprint, cellulosic ethanol reduces greenhouse emissions by 85%. Now that is substantial. Don't you think that collaborative research is always our best route to good ideas? Globally, this is already believed because research into improving ethanol and making its production efficient and highly beneficial is continuing. Facilities for production are all over the globe, the biggest one being in Italy. People want a home-based, clean alternative to fossil fuels. It will improve global health and national economies. So, on our list of cleaner energy sources, we can add cellulosic ethanol. Okay, so let's look at some of the phrases and vocabulary that are central to this podcast. Number one, the issue surrounding something. It means the important questions or problems that are linked to something. If you think about it, the phrase gives a good visual of a central idea or thing being surrounded. A. There are lots of issues surrounding the government's political agenda. B. There are a lot of questions surrounding his proposal. Number two, to subsidize. To subsidize is when money is given to a project to protect it and to encourage it. A. The corn growers of the US have been subsidized for many years. B. Taxpayers' money is often used to subsidize projects. 3. To rely on is the same as to depend on. A. I rely on him to tell me the truth. I rely on him to tell me the truth. So we use the little preposition on after rely. B. We rely on email to keep in touch with family and friends. Greenhouse gases. That's a phrase that's very much in the news and has been for quite a few years. Greenhouse gases. A greenhouse, of course, is the little glass building. It can also be a plastic building that is used for growing plants, particularly through the colder months. You can continue to grow vegetables and flowers in your greenhouse. A. Greenhouse gases are the gases produced by burning fossil fuels, such as coal or petrol. B. Greenhouse gases can be reduced by using clean energy sources. 5. To raise a question. It's a little bit different from to ask a question. When you ask a question, it's straightforward. You actually use words. But to raise a question is a little less specific. The question might not have been vocalized. It might just be in your mind. Here's some examples. A. His actions raised a few questions in my mind. Is he fit for the job? Does he need more training? B. I'm sure questions will be raised when the employees hear about him leaving the company. I'm sure questions will be raised when the employees hear about him leaving the company. Number 6. Overwhelmingly. It's quite a long word. Overwhelmingly. Here it's used as an adjective, but of course it comes from the verb to overwhelm. And we don't usually pronounce the H. It's a silent H. A. The votes show that she is overwhelmingly the most popular singer. B. I was overwhelmed by your act of kindness. 7. Carbon footprint. It's the amount of greenhouse gas emissions we cause on a personal level. So I have my own carbon footprint. A. This year, I'm going to do all that I can to reduce my carbon footprint. B. There are some simple ways to reduce our carbon footprints, like recycling and turning off lights that don't need to be on. And number 8. Collaborative. Again, it's a little bit of a long word. Collaborative. Collaborative. When you say it quickly, you don't really pronounce the O. Collaborative. It comes from the verb to collaborate, meaning to work together and share ideas. A. The project was a collaborative effort. Many experts were involved. B. If we collaborate, we will probably find the best solutions to our problems. Well, thank you for joining me. It's good to be back podcasting again. Remember, there's my Facebook page, which is not called A Cup of English. It's actually titled Anna from A Cup of English. And if you email me, I promise to email you back. My two email addresses are acupofenglish@hotmail.com and acupofenglish@live.com. Until next time, take care. Bye-bye.